Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock on the east coast of California. And we're beginning a new adventure this evening. We're going to explore together the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. Before we get started, this particular class is really going to be a kind of a introductory class as to what we're going to be approaching, where we're going to be going, where we are. Most important, where we are. Because when you get out a map to look at where you'd like to go, we always have to start with looking with that big arrow that says, you are here. And so we're going to determine where we are. So the first thing I'd like you to do, though, I'd like you to just take a moment and just be still a little. Just take a second to be still. And in that stillness, just take another moment and touch your silence. So touch a moment of silence. Touch a moment and be in that stillness just for a second. Just so in a second so we can get ourselves started here. Good. So just quietly for a moment. Just listen for a second. Now, I am experiencing the clear light of objective reality. Nothing is happening. Nothing ever has happened or ever will happen. My present sense of self, the Voyager, is in reality the void itself, having no qualities or characteristics. I remember myself as the Voyager, whose deepest nature is the clear light itself. I am one, there is no other. I am the voidness of the void. The eternal unborn, the uncreated, neither real nor unreal. All that I have been conscious of is my own play of consciousness, a dance of light. The swirling patterns of light in infinite extension, endless endlessness, the absolute, beyond change, existence. I, the Voyager, am inseparable from the clear light. I cannot be born, die, exist, or change. I know now that this is my true nature. That is one of the foundation prayers in the American Book of the Dead. And it's a foundation statement that we'll come back to many times in the next several months as we voyage through this remarkable volume. What I'd like to do is give a little bit of a survey of where we're at in this and what we're going to be dealing with. It's an important arc that we've come to, and it's important to know the context, in a sense, of this particular volume that we're working with. The book is based on what is loosely known as the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It arose out of, in a sense, it arose out of that tradition. Now, the Tibetan Book of the Dead was came out of Tibet. It came out of Padmasambhava, somewhere around 800 A.D. or something like that. And it was said that he understood that such a volume was going to be needed by the Tibetan people. And so he dictated this to his consort, and Yeshe Sogyal, and she took it down, wrote it down, and then he proceeded to hide it. He hid the work in the hills in Tibet, in what was called the Gampo Hills. And it remained there for some 600 years. And it was discovered by somebody called Karmalimpa. And apparently that kind of process of these spiritual treasures that came from these mountainous gurus that you know were founding the Buddhist nation at the time was not uncommon. They're called Trpas, and it means treasure. But Karmalimpa apparently was a reincarnation of one of the early disciples of Padmasambhava, and he found it. And that was his duty, and he passed away apparently right after that. But it was used in Tibet, of course, for hundreds and hundreds of years. In the 1920s was the first English translation. And it was actually done by a man named Kazi Dawasandup. And he translated it, and then it was edited by Walter Evan Wentz. And Evan Wentz had a big footprint in Asia, and it was because of him that some of the most important Asian doctrines, writings, came over to the West, and we see them filtering into some of the great writers in the late 19th, early 20th century. And this is one that was part of that portfolio that he brought forward. And it was a translation that was used by many. And I didn't really see any significant other translation until the early 60s into the 70s when Togyam Rinpoche asked one of his students, Francesca Fremantle, to do another one and update that translation. Another interesting thing about the Evan Wentz translation, by the way, if you get a copy of that, it's worth it for the introductory commentary, psychological commentary by Dr. Carl Jung. And he was quite moved by this document, this Tibetan Book of the Dead. He was just transported by it, and he felt it was really important. And I think in all of his work of archetypes and all of that, he saw a common handshake in a people across the ocean. And I have a volume called When the Swans Came to the Lake, which is about the transition of the Asian cultures, the Asian teachers coming to the West. And this was a document, of course, that was very important to that. But so Chögyam Trungpa and Fremantle produced this. She was a scholar in Tibetan languages and was, part of his retinue. And she did a lot of work in it and then later came out with another volume expanding some of the commentary that Chögyam Trungpa did in his work called Luminous Emanations, very, very worth working with. Even during that time, others recognized it as a guide of sort, and you even see Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary was moved by this, and he developed a guide called it a guide to psychedelic experience, and he, of course, was deeply involved studies with LSD, Betschner, Alpert, and Leary, then wrote this guide. It's quite extensive, and they openly discuss how it's directly related to the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And he starts it off, his volume, his guide, he goes, A psychedelic experience is a journey to new realms of consciousness.
That's Leary, yeah.
That's Leary. And I pulled that sentence out because that's what we're talking about here. building upon something that we've worked for these years, actually, in terms of building a group of some sort that has the ability to come together with the beginning traces of an invocational spirit. So just to move on, and then in the 80s, the Dalai Lama came forward and actually wanted it retranslated, and it was a huge project, giant project, and it's termed the complete translation of the American of the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Bardo Chagall, probably, right?
Well, the whole. If you start looking at the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it's part of a whole series of prayers and preparations. The Lama prepares in certain ways by giving certain prayers to the departed or soon to be departed. And all of that's part of the larger translation. And that was translated by Gurmay Torje and edited by Coleman, Graham Coleman. And it became really quite a hit. It was really made a bit of a splash out there. So the Tibetan Book of the Dead winds up being quite known in the West. It's quite known in the West as a book. But if you look at it, if you look at the actual Tibetan Book of the Dead, and you start trying to work with it, you start to see that it's inaccessible in a certain way. It's very, you have to really steep yourself in the Tibetan cosmology and the Tibetan culture to begin to get a sense of it and to begin to get a sense of how to work with it. And once you do, some of the prayers and some of the readings are quite moving. Once you have a sense of the Eastern God figures, really, you know, the names and things like that, which are complex to us at first. But the title, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, actually arose from Evan Wentz. He gave us that title. He decided that that's the name of it. And some people speculate that he did it because in the 20s, when this was, he did the first release, that's about when the Egyptian Book of the Dead came out. So he was just tying on to that marketing effort. And we're always marketing, I guess. But he called it the Tibetan Book of the Dead. But the title, the real title of the thing is not that. The Tibetan, this piece of literature, it's actually called The Great Liberation Through Hearing in the Bardos. That's its title. And the reason is because what would happen if someone was, I don't know how they were selected, but when you would ask a lama to do the reading for your departed or soon to be departed, he literally come and he'd read to the departed or read to someone who is about to depart. In some of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, when you read it, it says, you're not dead yet. You're about to die. Mm-hmm. You're still breathing. And then there's actually one that says, there was your last breath. And it's somewhat graphic. But so the Lama is sitting there, and what he's doing, he's reading to the voyager, right, to the person who's dying. So if you pick up Graham Coleman's edited version of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you know, I asked you, go ahead and perform a reading. And it's complex to do. So what if you want to use this material, either as a reader or you want to use it and you want to work with it? It's very difficult to do. So if you listen to some of the tapes when E.J. Gold is describing why he did it and how it came about that he wrote the American Book of the Dead, one of the things he said is that he was working with people in transit quite a bit, and then it occurred to him that they didn't get it. And the reason they didn't is because they were Westerners. They were of the Western mind. And so he constructed this volume in the 70s. I mean, it hit the streets, I think, in 76 is the first special edition.
Well, it started out at the Institute in 74 and 75, I think, that this Andor Press edition that was a paperback out of San Francisco was 74, 75. Actually, I have one here. So then it actually hit the mainstream, and along with the psychedelic experience, those were the only two books that were, let's say, delivering or adjusting this teaching for actual American youths, American readers.
Yeah, and Leary's effort was tremendous. It was a great effort that these guys did. 75 was the...
This is actually what the first paperback looked like.
But, you know, part of what I do, I've been sitting in this chair for about 4 or 5 years now and going through a number of volumes. And for me, it all relates to practicality. It's how can I practically communicate something about this material? How can I say something that is, we can then use it in our moment-to-moment everyday life? And so I'm not particularly interested in getting a better understanding of that. I did that when I was at UCLA and majoring in philosophy. That was a different effort. So the effort we've been working with over the last several years has literally been an effort of translating this material. And in a certain way, and I mean it in a very specific manner, EJ's work is incomplete. It's complete from an intellectual point of view, but it's incomplete from a user point of view, because he's basically saying, he says, pick this book up. Pick it up and do something with it. And I think we're finding that in practical work on self. He even points, he says, well, you know, if you have a teacher, if you have a guru or something like that, okay, but you might not. And so if you don't, what are you going to do tomorrow at 8 a.m. when you get in the car to go to work? Oh, I'll just forget about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Wrong answer. We are members, we're working in what's called the fourth way, and in the fourth way, we've decided to work in life. And we were determined that we're going to work in life, but we're in this world, and we're not of it. And we take that stand, and we say, that's where I stand at this point. Now, as soon as you start to walk down the road of I am in the world, but I am not of it, you are dictating at that point that I am not of the mechanical, machine-driven self. I'm something else. I've got a bit clear light. I am the Voyager, and inseparable from the clear light. How about that? What if just perchance that was true? What if that was true about you? Huh? What if that was actually true? With great humility, you'd barely be able to stand up. But that is the burden that we have. And I say it like that exactly, because part of what happens in transit, and we're going to see this when we get to into the readings more directly. Basically, we're preparing ourselves to accept the clear light. And the whole concept here, there's two parts to the American Book of the Dead, and there's two direct voyages that people can go on it. One is one that many of us here, maybe everybody here, has taken, and that voyage is to become a labyrinth reader, right?
Yes.
And you've done it, right? Labyrinth Reader's Course. Many of us have done this. And what that is, and if you read the second section of the ABD, you'll start to see that how to do a reading. And that's an extensive course for people who do readings for the Voyager, acting as the Lama did. Like I'm talking about, it was these trained Lamas. Not just anybody could do this, and not just anybody can do a reading. It takes some work to be in that moment of service for individuals. So that's a whole section of working with this particular book. We're not going to be working with it in that manner. Sarananda, can I? Okay. So, but in any event, she's currently doing a Labyrinth Reader's Course in Second. And if you're interested in that, if she's on, she'll put that connection up. So that's a course. It's a several weeks.
I
think it's 12 weeks where you are starting to learn how to deliver a reading. So that's a very important thing. And what we have found, people start to go down that road and you develop a particular skill. I happen to know two individuals who are genius at it, I would say. They're very good. That their ability to connect and their ability to give that instruction to the Voyager is supreme. And one of them is here now, and one of them will be coming a little bit later, and she'll be joining us next week, too. But for right now, so I'm just saying that, and she's actually just on cue.
Yes.
The invocation worked. It did work. But we're not going to be doing that. We're not going to be doing the Labyrinth Reader's Course, nor are we going to be doing that particular practice. What we're going to be doing is we're going to look at the other side of the ABD, part of the other side, and part of what is in a lot of the instruction, if you get into it, in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, is how to prepare ourselves for transit. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to talk more about the structure of the Kash. Another term for this particular manuscript is the Bardo Todal, and we're using Bardo. We've talked about it a few times. I just want to make sure that that's out there. And we can talk a little bit about what the bardo is. What is the bardo? And it is a Tibetan term, and it means in between. It's the in-between state. Now, in some of the literature, they talk about the six different bardos that they point to. And I'll briefly go over these, and we'll go over them in much more detail in the coming weeks. The first one is the bardo of life. That's just right now. We're in the bar right now. Right this minute, we are in the bardo. How we view it is it has to do with where we stand, where are our feet when we look about us and when we walk the earth as it is. The next one is the borrow of dreams. And when we're in the dream state, there's the mechanical dreams, but there's also when we have the big dreams and the lucid dreaming, and there's an instruction there that comes to us during that time. There's the bardo of meditation, which is really the bardo, it's like between thoughts, and between thoughts. There's the bardo. Then there's the bardo of the moment of death. In many, many, many of the classes that we've worked with here, I use the word transit. By that, there's being in a place, being in the next place. In between those moments, there's a transit between there. Pat was somewhere 10, 20 minutes ago, and she, and during, and now she's here. In the midst of that, there was a transit that took place. Now there's another transit occurring. But there's a transit. So there's a transit moment. Then the next one they call is the bardo of reality, which is the 49 days. That we're going to be discussing in great depth. And then finally there's the bardo of rebirth. So that's the context in a sense of where we're at, where this literature came from, how it's been used, and partly what we're going to do in the class. Now, this class is going to have, three parts to it. The first part, Pat will be joining us more next week for sure. Pat's here, but she'll be on because Ivan won't be here. And we're going to discover how to interpret this volume that she's one of the other, what I consider the master of. And that's part of it. We're gonna work with these bardo moments. We're going to work with them to see how do I see these bardos now? How do I prepare for that moment? Because at the moment of death, what happens is you're smacked in transit with a clear light. Can I do something to create a moment of a noble death? So that's the bulk of the class is going to be that study and to work our way and see if we can discover how to do that, how to bring that into our everyday lives. The second part of the class is a pragmatic part of the class. Not that what I want to discover together with Pat is how to do group work. I'll talk about group work in a minute, but we'll get back to that in a second. But when I say the practical part of the thing is that on the website, it's wingsofchaos.com, you're going to see a little thing that says ABD. You click on that, then there's another page that is, I'm calling it basically your practice, designing your last moments of life. Now, let me expand on that a little bit. So far, every human on the planet, pretty much so far, there have been some exceptions, I guess, everybody has died. So there's a high probability that everybody in this room might go through that process. I would say, let's count on it. So if that's going to occur, then part of this class then, this pragmatic part is, what would you like that to be like? And what I'd like individuals to do is start writing that up. And it can change over the next several months. It can be changed. It can be expanded. For instance, where would you like this to occur? What do you want to do with this thing? and it's not really the idea of writing out a will, though we may wind up in a separate class taking a few hours separate class to do that together. But it's more, what will that space be like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like? Who's there? Things like that. So that's designing the last hours of life idea. There's a third part, but it's not important to mention what it is yet. That'll come in a few months. But so those are the two things we're going to be working with now. Now, if you want to do this designing of the last hours of life part, you can go on the site and you can start writing it, or you can send it to me and I can post it. And you can either use your name or you can use initials or a made-up name, whatever you want. But it's an exercise that I'm hoping that we'll do in a somewhat public manner so that others can benefit from it as well. Does that make sense? That part? Does that make sense, Ivan?
Are you saying that whatever people are writing is going to be posted?
I'd like it to be posted because I want, you know, I want to be able to read it and say, oh, that sounds pretty good. I never thought of it that way. I want to try that.
So there'll be a series of them on the same page, right? A bunch of people.
Yeah, each person will have their own page.
Oh, okay.
Joe, Janet, Mary, Jack, okay?
Yeah.
And, or whatever name you choose to do. And the purpose of that is, there's twofold to it. One is to share with others, but the other purpose is for you to do it, to get it out there. Okay? You to do it and to get it actually out there. It's quite magical when you start to do that. Susan, are you on?
Apparently not, David.
Might not be on the phone, though. Susan and I worked on this a little bit, just a little bit, and it sparkles when you start doing it. Ivan, I'm wondering if you could change places with Pat for just a minute.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Hello?
Susan, are you there?
Yeah, right. My phone hung up right when you asked.
See how it is? It wasn't my fault.
I have a question.
You say
we each get a page?
Yeah.
Is it something we can, like, put stuff and add to it as thoughts come up? Or is it just like a one-shot deal?
No, it's not a one-shot deal. But I don't know how to let you edit it. So... Yeah, let's say you have it on your computer and you do it, and then if you send it to me, I think the only way I can think of doing it, I might need to get some help from other people, but right now all I know how to do is I can create a page for you, but I don't know how to let you edit that particular page.
Right.
Without giving you the whole website, and I can't do that.
Google Docs.
Because what I think is like... Right now, I can think of music.
You can think of what?
I can think of music.
Great.
And so I could put that up, but then, of course, there'll be a lot more stuff to add.
So why don't we do it like this? Why don't we send it to me? I'll create your page. You save it on your page on your computer as a document. When you're ready to update it, you just send me the updated one and I'll replace it.
And can we put a picture on the page?
If it's nice.
Well, right. I'm going to pick something unnice.
Yeah, none of these jealous gods, okay?
I have another question.
Okay.
You said that... Can you go over the first part? So the second part is designing the last hours of life.
Yeah.
And the first part is
Well,
the first part is instructional and philosophical and potentially experiential based on the words written in the text. And the format that David's going to use to approach that is?
We're going to work our way through the 49 chambers. I'll give you an example. I did this once. Pat asked me to come to her class a few years ago, and she just opened to a bloody chamber, and it just blew my mind. I mean, she said, read it. Here's a short one. This is the 20th chamber. Now, listen carefully. Or carefully listen. My present form exists without limitations. I find that I can move easily through all areas of the reality spectrum, viewing all aspects and details of all six lower dimensions as I wish. My movement seems to be directed by the power of my attention and places me in that locality of the space-time discontinuum. And it perceives that I'm going to end there. So what I want to do, and this is a bold, it may not be possible, but I want to bring that home, okay? I want to bring that home, and I want to bring markers. I want to develop markers so that when we're walking down the road and we're in our favorite health food store, how can I recognize the barter that's around me at the moment? And one of the things we're going to see is in the beginnings, in the early parts, we're going to see this interplay between this hot red light of cleansing radiation and then this soft, that you know, white, smoky, how nice. What's that all about? And we're going to translate that into a different modality. Because where we're stuck now is, I'll believe that I'm in the Bardos when I see these forms, right? When I see these weird forms and these, oh, I saw this goddess just 20 feet high and had flames coming up, flames.
And scales.
Flames coming out of her ears and scales. Then that's something I say that is a buffer. We're going to take a break just for a moment because we have to reboot the system. That's the question. Is it hard? Okay, who asked it? Who? Oh, Bonnie Case, good. People on the phone, we're just rebooting. I think it's happening.
Right.
Okay, we're back up in a second here. Some
David,
people have.
There are.
Does it look like it's on? Harry, are you there?
I am. My computer is on the blink. I'm just on the phone tonight.
Right,
okay, now
they've
good. Oh yeah, you're back on the air now.
Okay, good. Excellent. Greetings, Harry.
David, can you summarize the assignment, the first and second part, in just a couple of sentences?
Yeah, right. Yes.
I can do the second part.
Ah, we have a volunteer in the audience. Go ahead, miss.
Well, the second part would be designing the last hours of our life. And
then I did get that correctly.
and writing down what you want your death experience to be like.
The first
specifically.
Part. Specifics. That's
like
right.
Who's there? What's the smells of the music? Are you home? Where are you? Specifically.
Just like EJ does in the last chapter of Personal Work on Self.
That's right.
The
and that's what we're going to expand on, and that was my inspiration for that. So the first So the first part is that we are Bardo Voyagers right now. And the question that was on the line, Lost Horizon, was what? So Bonnie asked, is going through the ABD like preparing ourselves for transition?
As a question, you always want to allow yourself the potential for the answer to be included in the way you formulate the question. So rather than having a question that says, is something, which would allow us to say yes or no, and not give you any useful information, let's phrase the question by saying, how, in what manner, in what way, will we use the reading of the ABD to, and then what's the last part of her question? To prepare ourselves for transition. And the answer to that question is, in as many ways as possible. And we will illustrate to the best of our ability ones that we have found useful for us. And then we will hear from you ways that you have found it useful for you.
One of the things that I'm hoping to discover, and this just really hit me this afternoon when I was preparing for the class, Pat, was that somewhere in the next 3 weeks, month, whatever, there's going to be a point when we're going to realize that people can work together.
Yes.
There's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 people that are going to join in a group to work together to solve a particular problem. And that will arise out of the opportunity. Here we are, and when we're here, we are in truly an enhanced state. When we are in that state, more is possible. This is just how knowledge works. You get in such a state, and you have more capacity to understand and to absorb and to grasp different forms of knowledge. We're not going to go into a lot about that at the moment, but you do. Because you've made the efforts to be here, and in a sense you've put your intention into it, right? You put your intention to be here and to be part of this. That opens certain doors, and when you've opened that door and you said, yes, I'm willing to go through that, what happens is things move. Things move out there and give us a hand. Now, did we not find some of that in our work with angels? Some of the people that worked through the hidden work class and formed angelic groups have very, very specific answers saying yes. Susan, is that right? Did that happen?
Well, yes, absolutely. And it goes back to vibration. So whatever you're vibrating, you're going to get more of that.
So we're going to launch into that over the next few weeks. Now, in terms of reading, we're going to be reading. We're going to open up the book. We're going to read the introduction. I'm not that concerned about the preface as such, but the first part, I think what we're going to do is very likely start with notes to the, of the on the labyrinth.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to start on that. We're going to actually skip the part that says how to use this book. Okay?
That would be totally fine because you know you're going to come back to it later.
You have, well, you'll see. You must come
yep.
back to it later. But then we're going to, and then we're going to go to the introduction to the macro dimensions of the labyrinth, which leads us to then the six dimensions. And then directly after that, we're into the various chambers. So some, we're going to blend those together, and we have to realize that we're no longer in Kansas, okay? We're acknowledging that, and we're saying, yes, that is it. That's what I'm saying. We're taking a stand that that's where we're at, and that's how we're going to approach this material.
Now, on a side note, but not too far to the side, there are language and vernacular and dialogue issues at various points that could cause you to try to understand something in a different way than what you have understood before. And a helpful cue would be to have a dictionary available for you, an English dictionary, no matter what your common language is. We're going to read this in English. So an English dictionary, because you want to start with the most commonly accepted usage of the words first. And after that, there may be associations, there may be commentaries, there may be context. But if you take a word, for instance, the word that is in one of the first pieces you're going to read, labyrinth, and you have an association with some piece of footage from 40 years ago, or from playing several childhood games, or from going and visit pieces of foliage outside and walking, then you already have certain types of associations with the vocabulary. So give yourself a break. Ask yourself the question, how is this word being used in this sentence? Just like in grammar school. And that will help you to allow a different kind of meaning or understanding. Plus, it's possible that you might never have looked at that word in a dictionary, and there might be something there that will be a doorway for you that would not otherwise show itself.
Part of my inspiration, I mean, I've been wanting to do this and have been afraid of this voyage for years now.
Yes,
Pat and I have been talking about this, and finally we're sitting on the same table looking at the ABD. But my inspiration has actually been both my work with Pat over the years and my work with Jana, Molly Midway, over the years. These are individuals that are I don't know, suited isn't the right word. It's just that they were kind of born to do this. Nobody over the last 40 years has held on to the ABD like Pat. She's kept it alive when others' attention has gone other places. And I'm very moved by that. And in my spending time with Jana, it's like in the course of very ordinariness, she'll bring up a chamber, just boom, like that, because it is a translatable language for them.
Absolutely.
So when you have individuals of this skill set that are available to you, you start working with it. You bring that forth, and then you say, okay, what can I do with it? And now I only am here because I act as a translator. I'm a translator, and I'm trying to help translate one language to another language. And in that mode of translation, I want it to burn a little teeny bit like a like a piece of hot lead in your stomach. It just doesn't quite go away. And that's where I hope to wind up in the next 6 months or so.
I'd like to add.
Yes.
Well, from our last book, The Hidden Work and The Angel Work, we've really talked about post. And it just struck me that Pat has held this particular post and how lucky we are to be able to have that be part of our group.
Yeah, and so Pat has held that post, as Susan is telling us. The particular book, The American Book of the Dead, is the only volume I have seen ever in any language, in any, which I now, it's now in Italian. It's just come out in Italian. I know it's in Spanish.
Oh, thank God.
And, but it's the only one that is practically, in a certain way, available to the reader to use. So for me, it's the only one that's available. It's an access point. Years ago, when I was working with some of this, I was talking to some, I know they're hardcore in everything, Gurdjieffians and hardcore Tibetans even. These were not the monks that I work with, Tibetan monks. They're a little more facile. But these guys were like real hardcore. And they really didn't like this book. They said, oh, no, they had a lot of critique about it. Who's this guy? And I didn't say anything because I was not knowledgeable enough to answer the question, particularly in context of where they were saying it. But since then, I've read, bits of the various. Robert Thurman has a nice, a book on the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And I picked these things up. I've read them. I've studied some of the commentary. I've listened to lectures on them. And none of them are a book that I feel I can pick up and start working with my mother or my departed sister or for myself. So from that point of view, that's, I hope I got that point across.
Yes. Tell me what our timing is. When are we starting our project, and when are we hoping to complete it by?
I have no idea when we're going to complete it. We're going to start it next week, and we're going to start with the reading of that first little section there. And we're going to do what I call slow reading, and Pat gave us some very good ideas on how to understand and how to think. It's worth it to take the time that we all need. We're all in this together, okay? We're all in it together, so we're going to pull each other along, as it were, as we need to. I would say it's going to be 6 months.
Great. So just like with any project, like the kind of projects that you do sometimes at home where you want to fix something up or replace something or remodel or, one of these projects that you have in mind, so you squirrel away maybe a little bit of money and a little bit of time, and then maybe you even squirrel away a tiny little bit of your energy and your attention, because you want to use it on fixing up the bathroom or putting in those new trees down in the orchard. So in the same way with a project having to do with reading and thinking and discovering and observing, one part of this has to do with how much agreement do you make with yourself about your commitment? And I would propose that you write a statement for yourself that at the completion of this project, similar to when you look into that kitchen, you go, oh my gosh, sure looks great, we've remodeled the kitchen. That when the project is finished, you envision for yourself what it is that you will have accomplished. Even though you do not know at this point what that could be, give yourself a picture. Make a statement. At the completion of our project, working together with this text in this way, I will have faith, whatever it is.
Right.
Don't let yourself off the hook.
Susan, are there any more questions? Does anybody have questions?
Not really. More of side talk.
Side talk.
It's a lot of 93, and you know, I don't know what it means.
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, quite a few people have mentioned the number 93. I don't know.
Riverside is, yeah. Well, how about them Dodgers, huh?
So I would like to add that I've never thought of sitting and reading the text sentence by sentence with a dictionary. And I can see how semantically it will bring the group to the same place in a way that if we're just thinking about what we have associated with a word.
Right.
So I'm kind of excited, and I think that semantics is a big part of spirituality, of all of this, is because we bring up a word and someone else thinks something totally different than what you're expressing.
We want to have enhanced communication, and that can only happen if people participate. So in your agreement with yourself, as Pat said, you might want to suggest your participation as well and what that's going to be.
I just like the dictionary.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah,
but I'm also talking in terms of communication. Communication is, we were reading part of practical work on self today called The Struggle of the Sorcerers, and in it talks about the gentle art of confession. And whenever you are out in front and you speak, you are confessing. And when you confess, it illuminates everybody and it frees you at that moment. That's you begin to redeem yourself. So let's see if we can get these kitchens remodeled and see if we can't make a really good meal. Who is? Gnostic Man is unclear.
About part one.
Okay. We're reading.
Okay. The first thing you need to concentrate on, Gnostic Man, is that you will not have a clear and distinct answer to that question. You've been put in a boat, and the boat has been pushed off the shore, and we're going to wind up somewhere, but we hope to go there together. But we know it is an uncharted land upon which we are marching here.
I appreciate the question or the comment. Could you repeat it again, please? Good. The comment was unclear about part one. And we can be very specific about what we say are the directions for you to find yourself to part one. But it is a given, without a doubt, that we do not have clarity at this moment. So the Voyager's Quatrain says, we know. Doesn't everybody know this?
No sudden moves.
No, not that one.
I know I must.
I know I am looking
for something.
That's the Hobo's Prayer.
Oh, Hobo's Prayer.
And I don't know what it is.
And I don't know what it is. I only hope that I'll recognize it when I find it.
If you can stand in that position, that's the challenge here. Everybody that is here on the phone were skilled operatives.
Yes.
Okay, these are all skilled operatives that are coming forth here. And the challenge to you is to allow yourself to believe that your essential self habits are such that you'll respond and find the direction and we'll find it together. Okay?
Here's another important comment.
Go ahead.
By Pogo Cage. It says, David, when my son went missing and was later found dead, it was hard to do the ABD reading for him. When I did start them, I found it was the path for myself of the darkness I had been in. I am looking forward to working with the Life Bardo.
What happens in a case like that is, think of it in a very simple, pragmatic way. Most of the time we're asleep. Most of the time we're in the comfort or discomfort of our machines. And that's where we live most of the time. And then something dramatic like that happens. There's no place to stand. You're floating in the bardos, in the bardo of reality. These readings start to give a fabric for knowing a little bit about where we are. So we start with recognizing the fact, and this is not a simple thing, that we are voyagers. Why is it difficult to recognize the fact that we are voyagers? Why is that so hard? Because the voyager has no place to lay their head at night, do they? Because they are voyagers. They will voyage to where they are and should be. That's the miraculous courage that we take on at this point. Right?
It's called the Holy Hobo's Prayer.
Right.
Not because it is a request for something different to be happening than what is happening.
Correct.
But it is a prayer in the sense that it is acknowledgement of what is the current state.
Can you write it in the log?
I know I'm looking for something. I know.
Why are we even here tonight? I mean, why are we in this class? We're here because we're compelled. What are we compelled by? Oh, because you want to get a good grade? You're going to get paid. You're going to get the certificate. None of that stuff. We're compelled to be here because we want to be with our fellow voyagers, and we want to put together and enhance our group work. We didn't talk about group work. We'll do that next time, but when you are working in group together, something is possible that isn't possible by yourself. It come out. And you can declare things like, when my son died, think of the weight of those words from that individual.
Yes.
Think of that, the ton of that in that person saying that. That's where we are together. That's what we're going to be exploring, and we're going to be doing it together over the next few months. So,
I know I'm looking for something.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
I only hope I recognize it. So if our Bardo skills and our essential self is more coming to the forefront here, we may have the tools. And I've talked about tools. Is Simon Templar on? No, he didn't make it. Okay. And for 2 years I've been saying what we are adding tools to our tool belt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tools, they're things like conscience, and they're things like compassion, they're things like, you know, the high attention. Those are in our tool belt.
Mm-hmm. And willingness.
Willingness, intent. That's what we come forth with. So that being the case, our classes will last about 1 hour. After the class, I will post the recording that I get on the phone. I'm going to post that on the site, along with a log that Lost Horizon sends me. Feel free to add comments to the site if you'd like to. And with that, if there's nothing else, then we'll see us all together again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you,
David and Pat.
Thank you
both.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you. Very great class.
They're good. Stars are great. Yes. Yes. I don't know. It could be atmospherics, you know? Yeah. I like it.
I see like two stars and I go, what?
She's always been a two-star kind of girl. Hey, David.
Hey, Pat.
So the group says I may leave when I feel like I need to leave and
okay.
Be here on time.
Excellent.
Okay?
Oh.
Yeah. I love that.
Because...
Patricia Elizabeth, 2001, at yahoo.com. My name, 2001, at yahoo.com. No space, all lowercase. Oh, there's a lot of preliminary. You want to handle...
Yeah.